You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And very pleasant. Good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And last night at Lone Depot Park, the Marlins wrapped up an eight-game homestand with their last of three against the Philadelphia Phillies. Looking to salvage a game in that three-game set against the Phils. Pablo Lopez took them out for Miami. He went opposite of the veteran right-hander Noah Syndergaard. And with a recap, as always, here is Glenn Geffner.
Well, the Marlins flexed their muscles a little bit tonight. A couple of big home runs, and they beat the Phillies 5-3 to salvage the final game of this three-game series. The final game of the 19-game season series between these two National League East Division rivals. Marlins finish 7-12 against the Phils with a 5-3 victory tonight. Miami goes 4-6 at home and 3-6 in Philadelphia this season. Pablo Lopez started against Noah Syndergaard in this ball game, and in the top of the third, the Phillies threatened to strike first. Brandon Marsh led the inning off against Pablo with a triple, but Pablo came back. He got Matt Vierling to pop to short. Then he struck out Edmundo Sosa, had a chance to strand that leadoff triple if he could get the league's leading home run hitter, Kyle Schwarber. 2-0 pitch is in the air. Shallow left center. Out goes Rojas. He calls. Miggy catches, and Pablo works around the leadoff triple. Nicely done. Vierling a pop-up to shortstop, Sosa a strikeout, and Schwarber pops to short. Marsh left at third base. We've played 2.5, still scoreless. The Marlins. In the bottom of the third, we weren't scoreless for long. Leading off, batting for the seventh time as a big leaguer in his third game, Jordan Groshans. On 3-1, Groshans gets a hold of one. Deep down the left field line, toward the foul pole. It is out of here, a home run. Jordan Groshans is first in the big leagues, and it's 1-0 Marlins.
That is awesome. He's smiling ear to ear after that homer. Brothers running up and down the concourse. That's awesome. What a swing.
Was just barely able to keep that ball fair, and he got it out of here. A swing he'll never forget. Groshans' three hits last night, his first big league home run tonight, and the Marlins took a 1-0 lead into the fourth inning. In the bottom of the fourth, they'd extend that advantage against Noah Syndergaard. Garrett Cooper leadoff double with one out. J.J. Bleday walked, and with two outs, Marlins had two aboard for Brian De La Cruz.
It empties the air out.
3-2 runners go. De La Cruz drives one way back, left center, AutoNation Alley, goodbye! A three-run homer for Brian De La Cruz, and the Marlins go up 4-0. And Pablo was rolling along pretty good through five innings with a 4-0 lead on 70 pitches. He got the first out in the sixth. Edmundo Sosa grounding to third, but then with one out, nobody on, he faced Kyle Schwarber. Mini donuts time with homemade frozen custard. There's a ball crushed to right field off the bat of Kyle Schwarber, and Schwarber has hit it out. For Schwarber, his 38th of the year, most in the National League. He matches his career high set with the Cubs back in 2019. And the Phillies are finally on the scoreboard against Pablo. It's 4-1 now in the sixth. Well, Pablo would strike out Gene Segura, and he'd get Bryce Harper to ground it, ending the sixth inning. But the Phillies had a run back, and it was 4-1. Then in the seventh, Lopez got the first two outs. Real Muto, ground ball to third. Alec Boehm, a fly ball to left. But when Bryson Stott doubled, Don Mattingly decided to make a move to the bullpen. Pablo pulled after 95 pitches, 63 strikes, and 6 2/3 innings. He left Stott at second base, two outs in the seventh. The lefty reliever, Stephen Oker, came on to face the lefty hitter, Brandon Marsh. Stott at second, two down, 3-2 again to Marsh. That's in the air. Center field, on the run, Bleday can't reach it. Hits on the track, bounces up against the wall. Stott's in to score. Marsh has a double. It's his third hit of the night. He's got a single, a double, and a triple. And the Phillies are within 4-2.
They got the tying man to the plate with two outs in the seventh inning, but Oker induced a fly ball to center off the bat of Matt Vierling, and we would go to the eighth. Miami up by a couple. Tanner Scott came on for the eighth inning, and it didn't start well. Nick Maton, a single to center. Kyle Schwarber then worked a walk. So down by a couple, the Phillies are the tying man on. Nobody out in the eighth for Gene Segura. On 1-2, ground ball to short. Miguel Rojas has it. LeBlanc, one back to first. Got him! On a bang-bang play, 6-4-3. Two down in the eighth. But the Phillies weren't done. They had Maton at third. Tying man at the plate. Two outs for the reigning MVP, Bryce Harper. Payoff pitch, Scott to Harper. Got him swinging. He struck him out at 97. And Tanner Scott escapes. A single and a walk to begin the inning. Segura a double play ball and Harper a strikeout. In the bottom of the eighth, Marlins were looking to add on against Sam Coonrod, up by a couple. Charles LeBlanc led off with a double. Joey Wendell pinch ran at second base. J.J. Bleday, a ground ball back up the middle. He was thrown out 6-3, but the grounder got Wendell to third. Jacob Stallings then worked a walk. So with Marlins at the corners, went out in the eighth, trying to add to their two-run lead, Brian De La Cruz. On 1-1, that's driven out toward left center. Schwarber's going back onto the track, makes the catch. Wendell tags, he's going to score. A sacrifice fly for Brian De La Cruz. He's knocked in four tonight, and the Marlins open up a 5-2 lead. For De La Cruz, his second 4-RBI game in the major leagues. Had one August 13th of last year here at Lone Depot Park against the Cubs. Hit the three-run home run in the fourth inning tonight, the sac fly in the eighth. And the Marlins would carry a 5-2 lead into the ninth. They handed that lead to Dylan Floro. He got the first two outs quickly. Real Muto on a comebacker. Alec Bohm taking a called third strike. Two outs, nobody on. Bryson Stott singled. He took second base in defensive indifference. Man at second. Two down for Brandon Marsh. The 1-2 to Marsh. In the air. Right center. Going to fall in for a hit. Stott's going to score. It's a 5-3 game. Marsh is 4-for-4. He's knocked in a couple. And now, Matt Vierlingdoe representing the tying run. And so, with Marsh at first and two outs, it was up to Vierling against Dylan Floro. Floro's ready. Another 2-2 to Vierling. Bouncing ball left side. Mickey has the big hop. Throws to first. Got him to end it. And the Marlins win it 5-3. They salvage the finale against the Phillies and finish the homestand at 3-5. Not an easy chance for Rojas.
No, and it took that second hop. I don't know.
For the Marlins tonight, 5 runs, 7 hits, no errors, 6 left. For the Phillies, 3 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They left 5 on base. Pablo Lopez, the winning pitcher, he's 9-10. Lopez, 6 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. He walked 1, struck out 5. Allowed the home run to Schwarber, 95 pitches, 63 strikes. Noah Syndergaard, the loser, he falls to 9-10. Syndergaard, 6 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, walked 1, struck out 3, allowed a couple of long balls, threw 82 pitches, 55 strikes. Dylan Floro surrendered a run, but got the final 3 outs for his 5th save of the year. Time of the game was 3 hours, 2 minutes. So the Marlins go 3-5 on the homestand against the Mets, the Rangers, and the Phillies. They improved to 59-85 on the season, now 29-43 at home. As for the Phillies, they see their 5-game winning streak go by the boards tonight. They'd won 7 of 8 coming in, but the Marlins win it 5-3 to drop the Phils to 80-63 on the season. Phillies now head on to Atlanta for 3 games against the Braves this weekend. Marlins on to Washington. We'll see the Nationals 7:05 tomorrow, 4:05 Saturday, and 1:35 on Sunday. The Marlins and Auto Nation are working together to strike out cancer in our communities. Every time Marlins pitch records a strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to Auto Nation's Drive Pink Initiative to support cancer research. Tonight, a total of 7 strikeouts, $175. For the season, 1,260 Ks by Marlins pitchers, $31,500 from the Marlins to Auto Nation's Drive Pink Initiative.
Nice bounce back win for the Marlins, their 59th victory of the season. Let's hear what the skipper, Don Mattingly, had to say afterwards.
Well, Donnie, just starting with Pablo, you know, I know he was looking to bounce back after that tough one against the Mets. I just feel like everything kind of looked smooth out there for him tonight.
It did. He was aggressive. I thought he got the ball, you know, enough tonight to the inner half, trying to, you know, at least open up both sides of the plate. And he did a nice job of doing that, being aggressive. Really nice tonight. Probably maybe is, you know, one of his better ones this year.
Well, and how nice is that, too, to get that early run support? Pablo can kind of take some pressure off of himself. And just to have a lead early on in the ballgame, how important that is.
Yeah, for sure. To have a little cushion, it's like not always one run where you can, you know, you can make a mistake and give up a run. and still survive that. So that was a good thing. And obviously, as we've seen, you know, we kind of needed everything we got tonight. They are not going to stop, you know, trying to score. So
a couple of home runs for Dale Cruz over the last couple of days. I know when he went down to AAA, one thing you wanted him and guys like Jesus Sanchez to really focus on was having a plan at the plate and then being able to execute it. Do you feel like maybe some of those things he focused on in AAA have carried over to his big league at bats?
Yeah, Dale's looked good, and I don't think there's any doubt that he can hit here. It's a matter of, you know, the plan is probably your most important. You know, once you show that you can get the barrel to the ball in the zone, then you gotta force him to get the ball in the zone. And if Dale can do that, then he's gonna be effective.
Very small sample size, but through three games, Jordan Groshans, your assessment?
No, he's looked good, right? He's kind of made all the plays. You can see kind of a little bit of an inside-out stroke. He pulls his hands in on that ball tonight. That's a tough ball to keep fair. That thing ran all the way back across the plate. He looked like he was trying to go away, and it ran all the way across the plate. When a guy's able to pull his hands in like that and not hit it foul, that's a good sign. So he's got the ball he hit into right center. He hit good. So I don't know if I said it last night or not, but I think this guy's a right center, left center guy. And the power's going to come. He's 22 years old. If he'll just stay with the approach, keep working, as he starts to see guys more and more, it's when you really can open up the zone a little bit.
He was a really high pick back a couple of years. Are there, like, tools you see with him that just, like, kind of...
I mean, you see a good stroke. And, I mean, once you get into the pro ball, it's like, okay, doesn't matter where you're picked, you know. But, you know, he looks like he throws good. He's got plenty of arm for third base. But the swing is good, right? I think that's what you kind of see as much as anything. The swing is kind of what you want. He's been able to get inside the ball. He's pretty direct. Looks like he's got a decent eye. All the things that you need to be a good hitter here, it looks like he has. You know, then it's, again, he's like the rest of them at that point. Does he put good plans together every day? Is he going to stay with an approach? Understand who he is? You know, those are all going to be important factors to his growth, because, you know, the more they see him, they're going to find some holes and they're going to start coming. You know, maybe not this year, but whenever it is and they find it, they're coming. And that's really when you find out, you know, if you're going to be able to make those adjustments.
Two plays from the third inning. That leadoff triple had Pablo being able to buckle down and get through that inning after allowing the leadoff triple. How big was that for him to be able to do that?
No, obviously it's a momentum gainer for you. And when you get that, give up the triple and then you're able to get out, you know, you kind of think you're going to give up one there, right? When that happens with nobody out, you feel like you're going to get one. But once you get the first guy, and then we were at the tail end of their order, so we had a better shot at getting through that. They threw a nasty little changeup to Sosa there to punch him out. Pounded him in twice with the two-seamer, it looked like. And then stayed in. They could have probably tried to elevate, but he stayed in there and threw the changeup down under. They did a nice job there. You know, and then you still got to get Schwarber out. But I think being where we're at, once you get that first guy, it gives you a shot to get out of the inning.
And then Birdie getting picked off. Did you get a chance to look at the replay and get an explanation of why the call was overturned?
I have not got a chance to look at it. Our guy thought he was out. So it's been, you know, it's one of the things that's gotten a little bit loose. It feels like at the end of the season here, we've gotten picked a few times. The base running's gotten a little bit loose. So we, you know, hopefully we can crack down and be a little more solid as, you know, through the end of the season.
Donnie, more out of curiosity than anything. I know you like how Tanner Scott's stuff plays against lefties and righties. Was there any thought to maybe leaving Okert out there, knowing some lefties were coming up for the eighth, or were you okay with the way things were going to line up, knowing Scott's been good against both righties and lefties?
No, we probably would have tried to leave Okie. He's been a little bit tender. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple of days off. We've pushed him. He hasn't really been as good lately. Mm-hmm. And we talked about him going one plus. If he gets the first guy out and it's clean and quick, we'd probably send him back out. But once he had to throw some pitches and work to get out of that inning, then we thought, give Tanner a clean inning and let him go. Obviously, Tanner always makes you a little nervous whether you know if he's going to throw strikes or not. But you do know his stuff's good. If you can get the ball in the zone, he's got a pretty good chance of getting out of things.
Yeah, we just get that solidness from Tanner, Ogre, Flora, and other guy that could be, you know, having those type of innings in the 6, 7, 8, or 9 lately. So it's been huge in the amount of time that you've been using it, like the way last couple of weeks.
Say it again. I didn't quite understand the beginning of that.
To have that solidness in that 7, 8, 9 inning with Ogre, Tanner, and Flora pitching the way they've been doing in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I think over the course of the season, those guys have been pretty good. And I mean, you can't say we've been perfect. We're not, you know, that kind of bullpen. But Oki's probably has been as reliable as anyone we have. You know, over the course of the season, Flo has really had a good second half. His stuff has ticked up. You know, he started off injured early, and his stuff has ticked up. And Tanner really has been, you know, I know he's blown some saves. He's saved quite a few, but he's also been pretty good when we got him out of that role. So, you know, we know where we're going, kind of, at the end. But, you know, again, they've did a pretty nice job overall for the year.
I guess Wendell's okay. Was he available to do more than pitch run today, or was it just?
He probably could have. You know, they had him able to, you know, like any way I wanted to use him, really. So I wasn't afraid to put him in the game, but I was really trying to stay away from him one more day. Feel better about it, even though, you know, you have some kind of abdomen and in that area, you felt something 2 days ago. You know, if you take one swing and he has to get warmed up to do that, you know, you just felt like, we'll get to tomorrow. We'll have him in the lineup, and hopefully he's going to be fine.
All right, so that was Marlins manager Don Mattingly after the Marlins' victory over the Philadelphia Phillies to salvage a game in that 3-game set last night. The Marlins are in Washington for a brief 3-game road trip before coming back home next Monday. Against the Nationals tonight at 7:05 inside Nationals Park, Jesus Luzardo will go opposite of the right-hander Josiah Gray. We'll hit the air at 6:30 with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.